Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Get your Bibles out and go with me to the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew chapter number 1 starting out, and we're going to be taking a look at the Christmas story. And we have been, for the past couple of weeks, taking a look at different things about the Christmas story. Tonight, the title of the message is Where God Leads. Where God Leads. Each and every one of us in our life are going to be led by something. Some of us, before we were Christians, were led by the flesh, led by desires, led by what we thought was right, led by the world's systems, led by education systems, led in different areas of our life. And throughout the Christmas story, we see the leading of God. There were different leadings that took place. The leading of the star. There was the leading of visions, leading of dreams, the leading of God speaking to people. There was different leadings that took place. Now, tonight, I want to focus on one of these individuals in the Christmas story who was led in an unusual way, and yet we can learn from the way that they were led about something for our life. This individual is Joseph. You know Joseph. Joseph was the father who fathered Jesus here on the earth as an earthly father, even though we know that God himself is Jesus' heavenly father. Jesus was the Son of God, but indeed, Jesus humbled himself and became the Son of Man. And therefore, Joseph played a very important role in Jesus' life, as well as in the life of his family and in our lives today. See, this is not just a story. This is not just to look good on a history book. This is not just so that the nativity scene will be complete. This is something that speaks to our lives here and now. And in our lives, we all are going to either be led by the cares of life, be led by what society around us tells us, be led just maybe like somebody floating in the lazy river, just kind of floating through life, and wherever it carries you, that's where you end up, and hopefully it ends up good. See, that's not the life that I want to live. I want to know that I'm following the right lead. And God has given us leading. God has given us wisdom. God has given us direction from His Word, number one, but as well through His Holy Spirit. And God gives us that guidance. So where can we expect that God will lead us? If we look at the life of Joseph, I believe that we can find out where God is going to lead us. And if we know that God is leading us in a certain place, to a certain destination, then we will understand that, hey, when I get this leading, I know it's God. Is that right? See, because God's not going to lead you to a place that's not healthy for you. God's not going to lead you to something that's contrary to His Word. And therefore, if we're going to be led by God, we need to know and understand the character of God and how God operates. So we're going to take a look at the life of Joseph. We're going to be taking a look at some different ways he was led. In fact, Joseph had dreams. He was a dreamer. I could have entitled this message, Dreaming of Christmas. Because Joseph had four different dreams that led him in three different instances to different places. And we can learn in our lives, wow, if Joseph was led there, then that's the character of God. Then when God leads me to that same spot, I know that God is doing something in my life. Are you listening tonight? So where can we expect God to lead us? God leads us to a couple of things we're going to take a look at tonight. God leads us to. First one God leads us to is courage. God leads us to courage. Anybody here Sunday night? All right, okay, good amount of hands, but the majority of you guys were not here Sunday night. Oh my goodness, Sunday night Pastor Jim dropped some wisdom on this house. And if you did not get Sunday night's message, you need to just go to the CD counter and get it tonight or get it online. It's free online. You can download it, listen to it, watch the video, podcast it, any number of ways. We just want to get it into your hands, okay? And the only reason why we charge for the CDs is just for our materials and stuff like that. But, you know, so it's only like $6,000 over there. But anyways, so you can get the CD tonight if you want. But my goodness, Sunday night, if you want to find out more about being a courageous person, a person of courage and what that looks like, get a hold of Sunday night's message. But God leads us to courage. You can see this all throughout the Bible. In fact, one of my favorite men of the Bible is Joshua. I identify with Joshua in a lot of ways, and I can see how Joshua, being a young leader, being raised up and being ready to take on the responsibilities of the nation, crossing over into the promised land and doing great and mighty exploits. He had a war ahead of him, and here God was leading Joshua to be strong and of good courage. Tells it to him numerous times in the first chapter of Joshua. In the same way, we see the same thing that God did in the life of Joseph. Led him to be a man of courage. Matthew chapter 1, Verse number 18, starting out, says this. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Everybody see up on the overheads? I highlighted that word after. Everybody see that up there? Okay, after. I want you to note that for a second. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, comma. Now look at the next word. Before. You see that? So we've got an after and we've got a before. So after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together. Now, I'm going to spell this out for you guys so that you understand what's being said here. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, see, in their society in that time, the betrothal period was actually about a year-long process. But they did not consummate the marriage, come together as man and wife, until their actual wedding day. However, that betrothal was like you were legally married, you were husband and wife. And if you were not going to get married during that betrothal time, you actually had to write a paper of divorce in order to separate, okay? So this is saying after his mother Mary is betrothed to Joseph, so yes, she's betrothed. Yes, they're essentially legally married before they came together. So they had not yet had marital intimate relationships. Everybody know what I'm saying? Okay, did that spell it out clear enough? She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now we get the rest of the story that she was with child of the Holy Spirit. But Joseph didn't have the Bible yet to read about what was going on in his life, right? He was living it at the time. So let's look at the next verse, verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. See, now the verse makes sense, right? Because we understand that Joseph, if he found his wife pregnant before they came together, had a problem, right? That this woman was unfaithful. And therefore, Joseph had the right as the husband to do a number of things. He could have dragged her out into the middle of the elders of his town and had her put to death. He could have written her a paper of divorce and spit in her face in public. But Joseph, being a just man, some of your translations say he was upright. This guy was a righteous man. He lived an upright life. And notice that this is written in the Bible. This is the Holy Spirit talking about him. So God looks at Joseph, and God sees the heart of Joseph, and God says Joseph was a just man. He was an upright man. And not wanting to make her a public example, he didn't want to have her put to death. He didn't want to spit in her face. He didn't want to shame her. He loved her, and therefore was minded to put her away secretly, quietly. He was just going to wash his hands of it, and back away. He was just going to do that. Now, next verse says this. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now he gets the rest of the story. Notice he has a dream. Notice he has an angelic visit. Notice it's a supernatural leading of God that takes place, telling him what to do and why he should do it. Verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Once again, direction is given. This is what you're to call the child. This is how you're to name him. Verse 22, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Couple of things there. Number one, I want you to notice that Joseph, even though he was minded to secretly, quietly put her away, now had courage to do the will of God. See, once the will of God was known, he had faith to receive it, and he had courage to carry it out. Are you listening? And so what he did was he went and he took his wife to himself. Now, the fact that she was going to start showing, people would probably say, well, wait a second. They just got betrothed, and they're getting married here, and she's out to here. Something's going on, right? And the talk would start, and the gossip chain would start up, and people would be looking at them funny, looking at her funny. And any husband in this place can identify when someone's looking at your wife funny, something's wrong, right? What you looking at? And so here he is. He has the courage to carry out the will of God. Why? Because the will of God is now known. He's not afraid to take to her his to himself his wife, to take her as his wife. And he now has the word of the Lord. This is that which was spoken. He hears the word of God, which now he has faith, and he receives it, he believes it, and then he is courageous, and he does as he was commanded. And look at the next verse, 25, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. In other words, he so respected what God was doing in Mary that he didn't even come together as husband and wife until after Jesus was born. What an amazing man. What an amazing thing he did. See, Joseph, even though he was quietly going to do something courageous, now he quietly does something courageous. He just goes, puts his head down, and gets to work. Sometimes in our society, we look at quietness as cowardness, right? We look at that as, well, you're quiet, you're obviously a coward. Why don't you speak up? Why don't you say something? But if that was true, then Jesus would have been a coward. Is that right? When Pilate was railing in his face and telling him, why don't you say something, why don't you speak? When the Sanhedrin was yelling at him, are you the Christ? When they had all these trials, these illegal trials all throughout the night, he was like the lamb before its shears. He was silent. He was quietly doing the will of God. The same way Joseph did the same thing. But just as there's a time to be quiet, there's also a time to speak out. There's also a time to act. There's also a time to move and courageously do the will of God. That's why Jesus could say things to the Pharisees like, woe to you, you whitewashed sepulchers, you who clean the outside of the cup, but the inside is filled with filth and dirt, right? So there are times where courage looks different. And we see in Joseph that Joseph was led by his righteousness to do something quietly, but he was led by the word of God to do something openly. In our lives, it's no different. We need to know the will of God and be led by that will of God so that we can quietly, courageously, as well as openly and frankly do the will of God. What does that look like in our lives? It looks like several things. It looks like shutting up when you know you need to shut up at the Christmas table. Hello? See, because relatives, friends, neighbors, people are going to be at your Christmas table, and they're going to start mouthing off, and you know they're wrong. And yet, if you can zip it in love, and walk in love, and love them to life, bear with them, long suffer with them, when they bring up, hey, do you remember last year when you drank so much that it came out your nose because you were laughing and all? Hey, just be long suffering with that, right? When they start talking about how terrible your food is. Oh, if I would have cooked this, well, why didn't you cook it, sucker? You know, you're kind of like, what's going on here? I got to endure you, you know. Yes, be long-suffering. Be courageous enough to shuttest thou uppest. That's the King James Version, by the way. But in the same way, be courageous enough that when God opens the door for you to speak into their life, when you get a moment alone with your brother and you're sitting there and he says, you know, my life's a wreck, what do? You say, you turn to Jesus, let's pray together. Be bold, be courageous. I don't want to push them away. You're not pushing them away. They open the door. You're just walking in. That's what this is about. And we can be led to be courageous. You need to be led on the job to be courageous. When the person that's working beside you says, hey, can you cover this? And you know it's not right. And you say, no, I can't cover it. Come on, you know what? Let's be courageous. Let's be bold about this. You made a mistake. It's okay. It's going to be all right. God's going to take care of you. When you're there with your family, and now all of a sudden the kids are going nuts, and they need to get out, and you need to be long-suffering with them, moms, right, and dads. Be courageous enough to hold them in your arms, to love them, to, you know what, you've had a long day, yeah, but put yourself out there for the betterment of your family. Go the extra mile. Put dinner together. Sit with each other. Ask them, what was the best part of your day? How are you doing? Let's pray together as a family. Let's believe God before they go to bed. Read the word of God together. You need to be courageous enough to lead your home in the righteous way. Hallelujah. Hold your finger there in Matthew, or put a ribbon or a pencil or something like that there in Matthew. Turn me to John, the 16th chapter. John, the 16th chapter. And in John chapter 16, verse number 33, Jesus is speaking. Last verse in John, the 16th chapter, it says this, these things I have spoken to you. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I've told you some things. You have the word of God, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You see those words good cheer up there on the overheads? I should have highlighted those words, good cheer. Okay? Maybe they can do that for me there in the back. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. In the world you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trials. Guys, do you have that in the New Living Translation? Did I put that up there too? If so, switch over to it. But if not, just leave it there. There we go. Look at these guys. They're good. They're good. He says, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. What does that mean? That means, in other words, you're going to have things happening in life. Things are going to come your way. You don't have to go out there and look for trouble. Trouble's going to find you. In fact, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble, right? Every day there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be a devil out there waiting to try and beat you up. There's going to be people that don't like you. There's going to be world systems that are against you. There's struggle and toil and things that have happened because of the fall. So in the world, you have many trials and sorrows, but take heart. You know what that means? It means take courage. Take courage. Be strong and of good courage. Why? Because I have overcome the world. In other words, you're going through this, but it's a course that's already been ran. Jesus, the Bible says, is the captain of our salvation, and he's already suffered and gone before us, and now he's on the other side, and he's saying, come on, church. Come on, son. Come on, daughter. You can make it. You can do it. You just have to have the courage to face it, and I will guide you through and carry you through each and every step. We can be led to courage because Jesus led the way. He left us his spirit, and he gave us the direction from his word. God leads us to number one, courage. Second thing that God leads us to, we take a look at back in the book of Matthew, this time chapter number two. Second thing that God leads us to is this, safety. Not only the courage to face the trials, problems, and the pressures of life, but also God leads us to safety. God's going to take care of you along the way. Matthew chapter 2, look at verse number 13 this time. We're going to read through verse number 15. Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse number 13, says these words. It says, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. This guy was a dreamer. You notice that? Second time now, here Joseph is dreaming, and God knows how to get his attention. Maybe he was like me and knew how to sleep really good. So an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. So what did we see that God led Joseph and his family to safety? Now, in our lives, God wants to lead us to safe places. In fact, if you read the 23rd Psalm, it's amazing the leading of God. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me to lie down. He leads me. And what does it say? He says he prepares a table for me. Where? In the presence of my enemies. In other words, you can sit down and have a meal and not have to worry. Why? Because God has everything under control. Don't got to worry about it. Don't have to fear. Part of the Holy Spirit's job description is that he will show us things to come. See, sometimes those things that God shows us are good things. Like, hey, you're going to be doing great things. And you go, yeah, praise the Lord. But then sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to say, hey, watch out for this. And we say, wait a second, is that God? Does God really show me things that could be a hurdle? Well, yeah, we see this all throughout the Bible. You see, God showing the Apostle Paul trials and tribulations and persecutions await you in Jerusalem. There was a prophet named Agabus that took Paul's belt off of him, tied himself up, hogtied him. So I can just picture him laying sideways on the ground saying, the owner of this belt is going to be tied in the same manner. It's like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? They're all begging Paul not to go to Jerusalem. And yet, because he had a word from God, because the Holy Spirit had shown him things to come, he took courage and knew that God was going to safely carry him through every step of the way. That's why he said, listen, I'm ready to go to Jerusalem and even to die for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet God carried him through, and we see the plan of God. That's why he could go through shipwreck and being snake bitten and persecuted and beaten and stoned and whipped and lashed and everything else. All the riots that broke out all around him. Paul was led to safety. Why? It wasn't that he didn't have any problems. It wasn't that he didn't have any pain, but God took care of him every step of the way. It's the same in our lives. You may be dreading going to work tomorrow. You may be dreading seeing the family this Christmas season. You may be dreading the next round of bills coming in the mailbox. You might not be looking forward to going home to the neighborhood that you're going home to. And yet, Church of God, I'm here to tell you, God will lead you to a place of safety every time. Every time. Many times I've been led to places, didn't know where I was going, what I was doing. God just said, go here, do this. Didn't know why. Sometimes I'll be driving home and God will say, don't take the freeway, take side streets. Anybody else had that happen to them? Yeah, look at this. That's the Holy Spirit leading you out of an accident. Now, I go and check the newspapers and check the, you know, the internet and all that kind of stuff. I wonder if there was an accident. Maybe I can testify. No, didn't happen. You know why? Because I wasn't there. It wasn't meant for anyone else. And yet God was showing me. In fact, when I went on my missions trip, I was a young teenager, went on a mission trip. We went to Jerusalem. We were on doing our main ministry was on a street called Ben Yehuda Street, all right? And, you know, kind of a city center place. 2 weeks after we had left that place, it was bombed. Suicide bombing. Right there. And we were all going, man, that's amazing. I was just talking, in fact, to Dr. Baron Gilflin, one of our missionaries. He goes to this church, and so he was with us at our Christmas party the other night, and I was asking him about his trips. I said, man, you have been all over the place recently. He goes, yeah, I just got back from Australia. I was there in Sydney. He goes, man, it's crazy. Seems like everywhere I go, you know, we leave Jerusalem, and then it's bombed. We leave, you know, we were in Lebanon, and all of a sudden, all sorts of stuff broke out there, and then we went here, and this happened. We went there, and this happened. Then I was just in Sydney, Australia, and a lot of you guys know what just happened in Sydney with the terrorists and the hostages and all the situation that was there just days after he left. See, God will lead you to a place of safety. There is no safer place for you than right in the center of the will of God. Let God lead you. There's no safer place than to follow His lead. Why? Because if God is leading, you'll be under the shadow of His wings. Nothing can touch you when you're under the umbrella of the Almighty God. It's kind of cool, and if you want to keep your finger there in Matthew once again, chapter 2, and turn over me to Luke. Pass the book of Mark, find the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1, right at the end of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 is a really long chapter. Verse number 78 and verse number 79, Zacharias is prophesying about his son here, and he starts to cross over, he stops talking about John the Baptist and starts to talk about Jesus. And look at what he says in verse number 78. It says, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us. Verse 79, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Sometimes you don't know the leading of God. With anything else, you know that the Word of God is true, but this, I can't find this in the Word. You haven't heard from the Spirit. Spirit hasn't spoken to you. And yet, when you think about it or when you start moving in that direction, there's a peace that covers you. And you know that peace. It's the peace that passes all understanding. And God is showing you that He's guiding you. Why? Because there's a way of peace. There's a way of safety. There's that safety inside of it. It's almost like there's this blanket of protection that's wrapped around you. And you just say, I know that this is the direction. There have been times I've been led to give, and I haven't had the money to give, and yet the peace came on me. And I said, you know what? This has got to be God. I know that peace. That is the same peace that led me when I gave my heart to the Lord. That's the same peace that filled me when I was baptized in His Spirit. That's the same peace that's guided me along the way. And I can trust God's leading. Why? Because He's going to lead you to a place of safety, not to a place of ruin. Can you say amen? Amen. Last one for tonight. Is this helping anybody? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Good. If not you, it's helping me. Okay? Where God leads. First one, God leads us to courage. Second one, God leads us to safety. Last one for tonight, God leads us to purpose. Purpose. Number three, God leads us to purpose. Matthew, the second chapter, our dreamer Joseph, once again. Matthew, the second chapter, verse number 19 through verse number 23, says this. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the young child's life are dead. Verse 21, then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. Verse 22, but when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. and being warned by God in a dream. Remember, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. So here's the character of God. He's warned by God in a dream. Once again, that's the fourth dream we've seen tonight. He turned aside into the region of Galilee. Now, we would say, well, Pastor, that's peace again, right? That's safety again, right? Didn't you just talk about this? Look at the next verse. Verse 23, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled. Did you catch it? That it might be fulfilled. See, there was a purpose, and there was a plan, and there was a destiny, and there was a prophecy that God had for Jesus, but it had to be fulfilled. And so God used his leading, the way he knew he could get a hold of Joseph, to lead Jesus into his destiny, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. In our lives, when God leads us, God is not just leading us into courage, faith, getting a hold of the promises of God. God is not just leading us into a place of safety and protection and peace. God is leading us into our God-given purpose and destiny. The Bible records that God has planned good works. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, plans to give you a future and a hope. Ephesians, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which he has prepared for us beforehand. See, God has good works that he's planned for us to do. There is a destiny, there is a purpose, there is a place for each and every one of you. And this season, maybe you've been focusing on the wrong things. Maybe you've been focusing on how lonely you are. Maybe you've been focusing on why not me, or why them, or why can't I, or what you don't have instead of what you do have. I'm here tonight to help you realign your focus into the right place, and that is that God has a plan, a purpose, and a destiny for your life, and God will lead you into that. There's an assignment, there's a schedule, there's a destiny awaiting you out there. Recently got a Christmas update letter. You guys like those letters? Little updates, or this is what's going on in our life, this is what's happening, and it was a friend of mine. And so, you know, I was reading through the letter, and I just thought, man, I'm going to call this brother. You know, I just love this guy, and want to see how he's doing, and the letter reminded me of him, and so I called him up. As I called him up, I started asking him questions about some of the stuff in the letter. Hey, I heard this, and how'd that go, and what's going on here? And he starts sharing it with me, but he's sharing it with me in a way that he's telling me the truth, and he's speaking faith, and I know that when this situation happened, it was not that way. I know, I'm thinking, on the other end of the phone, I'm thinking, this guy's got to be discouraged. And I know he's ramping himself up in faith right now, and he's expecting me just to join in. And I stopped and I said, I'm going to tell you a story right now. And I just started to tell him a story that encouraged me in my life in a hard time. And I just started to pour into him, just started to tell him, you can do this. Don't give up. Stay faithful. God's in that. Right now, it's not looking very good, but you know what? In the future, God's going to do some great things. And in this story, if God could do that there, then how much more can God do in your life if you just remain faithful? Someday, you're going to tell that story, and it's going to be an awesome story, and it's going to be a witness and a testimony that it wasn't working here, but I stayed faithful, and God worked it out over here. And man, I just started to pour into the brother. Started to encourage him, and he was on the phone on the other end of the line. He says, I'm going to get off the phone because I don't want to cry, man. So just get off the phone with me. I love you. Later, you know, and just hung up on me. And so I just was happy that I got to do so. Later on, next day, as a matter of fact, I get a text from the same guy. He says, man, you were just so used by God. You don't even understand. See, I thought I was just calling a friend who I was reminded of because of a letter. But God had an assignment. God knew, man, this guy needs encouragement. God had my number to get a hold of me to say, call this guy, and you can just walk into your purpose, walk into your destiny. See, you may not have dreams like Joseph where an angel shows up and tells you exactly what to do. We would all love that, right? I would love that, most certainly. Please give me the next sermon series. Give me, you know, just tell me what to invest in the stock market. Come on. You've thought about this stuff, right? Tell me what to say to my neighbor. Tell me how to work out this situation. Tell me how to be the best on the job. You know, what do I need to do, God? Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Oftentimes, we don't get those audible voices or those dreams or those visions. What we have, though, is we have the Word of God. And like Joseph, if we stay right, stay just, keep our noses clean, stay out of trouble, and stay faithful with God, God will urge us and move us and nudge us and get us to the right place. And you will look back on your life and you will see the fingerprints of God all over everything that you've ever done and say, my goodness, God was leading me here. God was guiding me there. God was showing me this here. I didn't realize it, but now I can see God all over it. Thomas Watson said this. He said, if God be our God, he will give us peace in trouble. When there is a storm without, he will make peace within. The world can create trouble and peace, but God can create peace in trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's our God. That's our God. Last verse for tonight, Psalm chapter 139. Turn there with me. Psalm 139, right there in the middle of your Bible, just about. Psalm 139, great psalm. Want to learn about God's purpose for your life and how much God thinks of you. You can read the whole psalm. It's just amazing. Psalm 139, verse number 23 and verse number 24, last two verses. The psalmist writes and he says this. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Aren't you glad that you're not the only one who's ever encountered anxiety, fear, trouble, trials of life? Verse 24, look at what he says, and see if there is any wicked way in me. Now we have to define what wicked is for a second. Anything evil, anything wicked is anything that is contrary to the way of God. So if there is a wicked way in me, that means that it's a way that is leading me away from God's way. Are you listening? So he says, see if there's any wicked way in me. And then look at what he does. He yields himself to the leading of the Lord. And he says, and lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, if there's a way in me that's contrary to your way, God, change my course. Change my direction. Lead me in the right way. Guide me in the way that you would have me to go. Lead me in the way everlasting. You know, you can pray these prayers. You can take the word of God and pray it over your life. God, try me. Know my anxious heart, God. Take a look inside, God, and see if there's any wicked way in me. And God, if there is, Lord, I'm ready to change. I'm ready to follow your direction. Lead me in the way everlasting. Because God, I know that you have a purpose. God, I know that you have a plan. God, I know that you have a destiny for my life. I know that you've got good works awaiting me. God, you want me to love the unlovable this Christmas? I'll do it, God. You want me to bless somebody this Christmas? I'm ready, God. God, you want me to tell someone about Jesus? Oh, God, just open the door and I'll speak, Lord. Tell me the right time, the right way, God. And Lord, I trust your Holy Spirit to speak on my behalf when the time is right. Lead me, God, in the way everlasting. Hallelujah. Tonight, what do we learn? We learn how God leads us, where God leads us to. Leads us to courage, leads us to safety. He leads us to purpose. All we need to do is look for and listen to God's leading. Do you guys get something from the Word tonight? Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.